Now, I thought we might just kickstart a discussion about future workforce by actually seeing if there's any consensus about where that future workforce is required. So going through the panel, do you have a sense of where are these growth sectors? Where are these greatest opportunities for the next generation?
I think that there are many opportunities for all the students. We need to make them aware of what's out there. But to me, it's about creating a flexible and agile workforce. So it's not about the content anymore, it's about the network. So what we try and do is we find students that need to be in the network, so we try to promote them into networks. It could be just their own peer network or it could be industry networks. So to me, there's plenty of opportunities. We've heard it all today, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that your message gets back out into the community. So to show that it's endless, the possibilities are endless here.
Does anyone want to take a punt? Are we talking about needing more aerospace graduates? Do we need more data scientists? Or is that just too prescribed? Are we being too specific with the types of training we're giving our students?
Can I come in?
Sure.
Opportunities are great. We need the capacity in our schools in terms of teacher capacity. In order to guide those students on the correct pathway. And I think that's where we need to be spending a lot more time and a lot more effort and a lot more money in that particular area. I know my centre, or our centre, spends a huge amount of time teaching teachers how to teach more effectively in the classroom. Because when it comes down to basics, students really need to understand the basic science and the basic mathematics, because if they don't understand that and if they don't have a good conceptual understanding of what they're doing, then that will stop them progressing through this pathway. The other thing we can do, or what we do, is in terms of bringing industry within this realm, is we employ many postgraduate and undergraduate students to actually do a lot of the programs that we run at the centre. In other words, the students are then exposed to young scientists and engineers and actually interact with them during the day. They talk about themselves. They talk about what they've studied, how much they've studied, what their aspirations are, who influenced them, who inspired them. And I'll tell you what, in most cases, they talk about their teachers that inspired them. So I think that's something we need to think about.
So can any of the panel from the universities offer help or solutions? Can you send your own students into schools? Are you already doing those kind of efforts?
Yes. So at the University of Queensland, we do go into high schools in Brisbane, mm-hmm. Mainly ones that have an aerospace stream. But I think from the point of view of space, that's a very small segment. Mm. I think we need to think much more broadly than that. But just about skill sets, you know, Alan, you mentioned you have, with one of your systems there, you had a digital twin on the ground, mm. right? Who wrote all that software? Who did all that coding? Those coding skills are ubiquitous in all areas of space science, aerospace, mm-hmm. all modern technology, and they're the skills that the kids need to be able to they need to write and they need to read, but they also need to be able to code in the modern world. And I think that's really an important thing. And it's fun to code stuff. It gives you power. Coding is power. But yes, I think we definitely have our students, our postgraduate students, go into schools. But, I mean, for us, we need to be thinking much more broadly than we do. How about you?
I agree entirely. And, in fact, a lot of the content and a lot of the skills, such as coding, are necessary but not sufficient in the new environment, in my view. I think it's important that we do train engineers and STEM professionals, but also people that understand systems and systems of systems and have the ability to bring them together. And on top of that, in the past, we were very much recruiting on the basis of IQ. Now we've moved into the basis of IQ plus EQ, but further than that, we're also moving into the basis of IQ, EQ, and AQ. And the AQ stands for adaptability quotient, because the world is changing so fast that what we educate for today is not going to be what they're going to be practicing in 10, 15, 20 years' time.
Just a few quick things. So, I wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for NASA, for example. I'm sure few people would say the same thing. When I was 4 years old, I was brought up in a very poor neighborhood. Amazingly, we did see the sky sometimes, northeast of England, not very often. But when I did, you know, I would think to those images, even at that young age. And so, like many of us, I'm sure, I could have gone in any career. Well, probably not English, okay? But I could have gone in any scientific career. Okay? All right? But I chose that one at four, and I never changed. Okay, it's what I wanted to do, and I was so driven, you would never have stopped me doing it. So part of the role that I want to do and I feel I need to do in my position is to try and inspire people to have... people, young kids, my own kids, anyone's kids, I want to do things that they look at and go, oh my God, that's really amazing. And that's, you know, and so that's a challenge to me in my center. That's what I want to do. I want to pick those projects that we can explain in a way that people are just really blown away, all the way from 4 to 100. And so we should never forget that. And we should, I think, as a community, remember the power of inspiring children at that age, because for me, I wouldn't be here. Okay, the second thing, I agree with the comments that I've already said, so I won't reiterate those. I'm really excited about new courses in things like cyber and things like AI mixed with humanities, and the social interaction that Genevieve Ball's doing at ANU. There's plenty of examples of this. It's a new way of thinking. How is society going to change because of what we're doing now? And I find that really stimulating and almost like getting a little bit ahead of the curve, like trying to predict what we're going to be like in the future, how teaching what we're doing in the future, what we're learning, what's important. We're all networked now, right? So that's really stimulating to me too. So seeing these great innovators in teaching and in courses, we should encourage them and support them, because this is really new. It's new stuff. I don't know where it's going to go, but it's just really interesting. I think it's really important for Australia. Lastly, what do I need being director of an institute? I've got to admit, now I'm employing older, young compared to me, but like 80, 90, 20-year-olds, that kind of thing. The generalists, they are the ones that do really well in my center. The ones that, they're smart, but they can sell themselves. They can get up and tell a story. They can know how to work a computer. They know how to, basics of putting even a business together, and I help them with all of that. And so it's really, I'm not sure if that's true of everything we need, but from my perspective and what I do, having those generalists is really important.
So, okay, Andy, and then I'll
just a quick comment on the generalist bit. I've read somewhere once where if you're in very stable times, you appoint a lot of specialists and you need a lot of specialists. When you are in uncertain, changing times, you need more generalists. Mm. And I leave it to you whether you think we live in stable times or not.
So talking about the encouraging that level of general skill or skill development, how do you get that from your high school students? How do you get that from the university students? Maybe Jackie to kick us off.
Well, we're just finalising arrangements to open a national STEAM Centre of Excellence, which is an immersive facility. So it's not a day visit place. It's an immersion place, so we have lots of time, night and day, to do things. And to me, what you do is you set up so you can develop creativity, innovation, problem solving. So you set up, like, it's pretty much like defence do, put scenarios together, but you put people in that. And you do that to adults as just as much as kids, because that's a great way to learn. So what you do is you set it up so that they do fail. They have to make instant decisions. Then they have to make problem-solving solutions and work together as a team. So all of those skills that we talk about, the soft skills, I don't call them the soft skills. They're the employability skills of the future. And they're the skills that we're going to be focusing on to develop for everyone, not just young children, but teachers, adults, industry, because they're the ones that we need. We need an agile workforce that can problem solve and don't need a textbook to tell them, that actually will make a decision on the hop and go for the right one.
And the more we set that up, the more comfortable and the more leadership capability and the more self-esteem increases that we see in young adults.
I might turn to Michael. How do you encourage that kind of learning? Is that something that VSEC is trying to actually engender?
That's what VSEC's been doing for the last 16 years. And it is a very powerful way of learning, I think. We don't have the luxury of having a 3 or 4 or 5 day immersive experience. We have a 1 day immersive experience, but we add to that by providing work that both the teacher and the student have to do before they arrive to the centre and also when they leave the centre. So really, the thing can last. I mean, well, for example, our mission to Mars, which is an analogue mission to a surface of Mars that we've recreated, is a teaching unit around Earth science at Year 8, Year 9, and that lasts for 3 to 4 weeks in every classroom. So it can last for a long time. But it's interesting, and I totally agree with what you said, it's interesting when they do come to the centre and they do immerse themselves in this mission and try to actually put all the things that they've learnt in the classroom together in order to do the communication, to do the collaboration with their teams, to solve the problems, only then does the teacher actually see truly whether they've actually learnt anything. And that's a really interesting observation. And we're continuously gathering data on this as well. So I do emphasise that as a very powerful thing, but I also emphasise, again, I'll go back to the classroom. We need to improve that capacity of the teacher. We need to have those kids exposed to those so-called 21st century skills every single hour of every single day in every single subject, not just science, mathematics. So I think that should be the emphasis, I think.
Okay, so we have some people from government here, so hopefully they've heard that loud and clear. Looking towards the university level, this kind of project-based learning approach is becoming very popular. But what role does industry have to play? You have an audience, obviously, of industry people. Is that the place that they can best work to offer these project-based learning opportunities for your students?
Yeah, I think industry experience for the new, more generalists that we're talking about is absolutely important. Because I'm slightly conflicted here because there's a lot of push on our engineering degrees to include management skills in them. But the kids don't have any context for that management. Mm. They really have no idea what it means, and it's like a waste of time. A much better way for industry to contribute back to universities is not to force us to do management, because I understand kids come out to industry and they have no idea how to organise themselves. I understand that issue. But a much better way to stop that from happening is to have placements for these young people. Mm. Placements, like, you would not believe the difference that you see in a person that's gone away, a student, a guy or a girl, has gone away for a placement over the summer. They come back a completely different person. And it doesn't really seem to matter what the placement was. What type of company, necessarily?
Yeah, I think there's a minimum experience.
There's a minimum standard, experience, yeah, not going to McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
But no, to use the knowledge that they're learning at university, mm-hmm, in a practical way. And that's the way that industry can contribute to creating a better workforce, not by making us teach them how to manage things. Like
that. No, actually, I'm going to put you all on the spot here. We have a number of industry figures. With a show of hands, could you raise your hands if you actually are from industry? And keep your hands up if you offer internship places. Okay, but yeah, a depressing number dropped. How many would like to, though? You can re-raise your hands. Yeah, okay. Not that many. Industry's not convinced of this.
Yeah, it's not going to add to your bottom line in the near term, but it might add to the whole Australian industry as a community to have better graduates come out of university. Some that know where things are going to be used and how they're used while they're learning these things that we teach them.